on a nice dry morning. I welcome Bethesda joining us this morning and Richard, who will be bringing us God's word later in the service. Tea and coffee will be served across in the hall at the end of the service, so please do go across and continue in fellowship. And if you want to stay for faith lunch that is taking place, please do so. If you haven't bought any food but would like to stay, please stay because there's always plenty. I don't have any specific notices unless anybody else has anything. Birthdays, we have three in Bethlehem. I don't know, are there any birthdays from Bethesda? Yes. Yeah, we've got Anne Lee on the 13th. Is he not coming?
He is coming.
All right. And the two Heidis on the 14th, Heidi Senior and Heidi Junior. And the 14th would have been my late father's birthday as well. So, and I was going to say, today we've got the church's birthday because it's Pentecost. So let's sing happy birthday, and you can tell Anne Lee we sang to him.
Day to you, happy birthday to you. May God's love go with you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, you can send Anne Lee our best wishes. And I know the two Heidis weren't going to be here because Heidi's Hebrew dancing somewhere. Right. In Lectio 365, the last few weeks, which is a prayer app which 24/7 prayer do, there has been a continuous call to worship, celebrating as if it were part Palm Sunday, as if it were Easter, and as if it were Pentecost. But today we can celebrate because it is Pentecost. So, from Lectio 365, Hallelujah, Father in heaven, you love to give the Holy Spirit to your children when we ask, as we read in Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Hallelujah, Lord Jesus Christ, you have sent us the Helper who will never leave. And in John 14, verse 16, we read, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit, I welcome you here with me now. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4-6. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of suffering, of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. We praise you, Lord, our God, how great you are. As we come to worship you this morning, we pray that you meet us this Pentecost day in words, visions, light, flames and fire. We come before you and you illuminate our need of you and your desire that we should know you. We are transfixed by your greatness and your glory. We praise you, Lord our God. How great you are. Amen. Amen. And we're now going to sing a song, a block of three songs. human achievement. We praise you for sending your Son Jesus to be one of us, to heal, teach, tell stories, and to die for us, and then rise again. We praise you that at Pentecost we have the Spirit of Jesus by our side forever. We praise you for all you have done since Pentecost, for the millions who have lived their lives in your light and pointed others to you, the centre and source of all that is. We praise you for all that you have done in our own lives and in the life of this church. And God, we praise you for all that you are going to do as we open ourselves to the possibilities that you have been preparing for us. Make us receptive, make us bold, and make us people of praise today and always. Eternal God, we have done nothing to deserve your Spirit. We can hardly draw breath without hurting and misleading each other. We can be stubborn and lazy. We can shut you out of our lives without even knowing we are doing it. We sometimes act as if we don't want to hear your gospel and don't want to communicate it either. We are sorry and ask your forgiveness. Yet despite our failings, you give your Spirit freely for all. Quiet in our hearts, we pray, so that we may hear you, and hearing may know the greatness of your love and the power of your forgiveness, and may learn to speak of you with everything we say and do and are, living daily with the companionship of your Spirit. You love every single one of your children, wherever they are from, wherever they are now. As at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabled people to hear in their own language, so today, Lord, we can hear and feel and know your forgiveness deep in our hearts and souls. We thank you, Lord God, for being there for us and waiting with open arms for us to respond to your call. Amen. And now, if I could ask for the offertory to be brought forward, and I will hand over to Richard.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Seems an awful long way away. I don't know if you can see me. I'm up here. A very warm welcome. And as we come to Bible Week Part 2, which appropriately, of course, is about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we looked at Jesus as Messiah. For those of you who weren't able to be there, we looked at Jesus as John unpacks the identity of the Messiah. As John as he says in his at the end of his book, that he wants to show the identity of Jesus, that we all may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so he unpacks in his gospel all the signs and wonders, all the pointers that have been through the Old Testament, and all the signs and wonders that Jesus does, which identify him as Messiah, as King of Kings, and as Lord of Lords. But today we look at how John develops the theme of the Holy Spirit at this time of Pentecost. And of course, the culmination of the Holy Spirit's coming, Glenys is going to read for us now. Thank you, Glenys.
The reading is from Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. As we open the scriptures today, we pray for your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and minds, that we may understand your truth and be transformed by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Glenys has read for us, when we think of the Holy Spirit, our minds go first, especially on this Pentecost Sunday, to those dramatic scenes of Pentecost with rushing winds and tongues of fire. And rightly so, because Pentecost is a powerful manifestation of the Spirit's power. And before we move right through, we're going to sing the song, Holy Spirit, Move Within Me. So that song speaks of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself to the disciples. As we said, it's a powerful manifestation of the Spirit's power that happened at Pentecost. And yet long before, Jesus himself in John's Gospel began to unveil the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, preparing his disciples for that amazing transformation that was to come. And as we look at John's Gospel, what we'll discover is that the Holy Spirit is not just some distant, thunderous force, but an intimate, indwelling presence, a gift meant for every single believer, every one of us here this morning. The Holy Spirit works in believers to fill them and empower them to live a life of faith and obedience. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in a situation where you just knew something, even if you couldn't explain how. Maybe a sudden burst of courage when you were feeling afraid, or a surprising moment of clarity when you were completely confused. Perhaps you felt a deep sense of peace in the midst of a chaotic time. For many people, these experiences might just feel like intuition or a lucky break, but for followers of Jesus, there's a deeper reality at play, and that's the active presence of the Holy Spirit. And nowhere is this more profoundly explored than in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, unlike the others, gives us a very unique and intimate portrait of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just mention the Holy Spirit, he really unpacks the Spirit's role in the life of Jesus, and crucially, in the life of believers. So, this morning, let's discover what John has to say and wants us to understand about this amazing third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit, John says, is the promise of the Advocate, our divine helper. And in John 14, Brenda, if we could put that up, please. John 14, verses 16 to 17, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. By the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The word advocate there is a very powerful one. It's Greek, it's parakletos, or paraclete, as we might say, which can mean a helper, a comforter, an intercessor, a counsellor, even a legal defender. It isn't a force or influence. It's not just general comfort, but a specific, personal, powerful presence. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father in Jesus' name to continue his work, to uphold the truth and be with us forever. He's our advocate. Imagine you're facing a tough situation, maybe a legal battle, maybe a medical diagnosis, or a complex family issue. You feel overwhelmed, you feel alone. Then someone steps in, perhaps an expert lawyer who knows all the ins and outs, or a compassionate doctor who explains everything clearly, or a wise friend who offers unwavering support. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us, our divine expert, our ever-present comforter, our tireless advocate. Jesus knew that he was leaving the disciples physically. He knew they would feel lost and vulnerable. So he promised them this divine helper, not just for a little while, but forever. The Spirit just wouldn't be with them, but in them. Even when Jesus is physically absent, his presence remains intimate and transformative. A promise of unbroken fellowship with God. And that's really incredible intimacy. Unbroken fellowship with God. And then in verse 26, Jesus adds, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Spirit is our divine teacher. He helps us to understand God's word and brings Jesus' teachings to our remembrance. How many times have you been reading the Bible and suddenly a verse jumps out at you, or something you read years ago suddenly makes perfect sense? That's the Spirit at work, teaching us, reminding us. And like a divine teacher, he's always ready to explain God's truth and to bring back to our minds the wisdom and teaching of Jesus when we need them most. In moments of temptation, for example, he can remind us of Jesus' words about fleeing evil. In moments of doubt, he can remind us of the wonderful promises of God. So, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, he's our helper. Secondly, he's the Spirit of truth, exposing and guiding. And in John 16, verses 7 to 8, and verse 13, 7 to 8, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." But Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, and he's speaking here about the Spirit's work in the world. And what we've just read there is a profound statement. The Spirit's role is to prove the world wrong, to show that the world is going in the wrong direction. Don't think we need much conviction of that. Some translations say he will convict the world. Imagine a skilled detective presenting irrefutable evidence in a courtroom. The truth becomes glaringly obvious. The Holy Spirit acts as our divine detective, exposing darkness. He shows the world its primary sin, unbelief in Jesus. He points to Christ's righteousness, now at the Father's right hand, as the only true standard. He reveals the reality of judgment already accomplished against Satan and awaiting all who reject God. This conviction is not for condemnation, but for redemption, to waken up the hearts of people, to help them to understand that they need a saviour. But the Spirit's work isn't just external conviction, it's internal guidance. In John 16, verse 13, we see the Spirit's guiding role. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. In a world that is saturated with, well, we don't have to go very far, do we? Just across the pond, to see misinformation, fake news, alternative facts, subjective realities. How vital is the Spirit of truth? The Spirit doesn't invent new truth. He leads us into God's truth. He doesn't just give us a set of rules. He brings discernment. He opens our eyes to understand the Scriptures, to see God's will in our circumstances, and to recognize the subtle deceptions of the enemy. He guides us step by step, perhaps much like a GPS system in a car. Imagine you're trying to navigate a new city. Many of you, I expect, will have done that, will have gone into a city, stuck on the GPS because that's the only way to find your way to the hotel. You could try to guess your way around, or you could follow what the GPS has to show us. The GPS doesn't make up the roads. It simply tells us the correct way to get to our destination. And similarly, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, guides us through the complexities of life, showing us the path of righteousness, the right way to go, and leading us deeper into an understanding of God's will. He helps us discern what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. Crucially, he always points us to Jesus. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit's mission is never to draw attention to himself, but always to magnify Christ. So the Spirit is our advocate. He's the Spirit of truth, and he's living water, our inner spring. John 7, while not explicitly in teaching about the Spirit, John gives us a beautiful image of the Holy Spirit as living water. And this little passage takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus cries out, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Imagine being parched in the desert, your throat dry, your body crying out for some sort of refreshment. And then imagine discovering a spring of pure, cold water bubbling up from inside the earth. And that's the kind of imagery that Jesus uses here. The Holy Spirit is not just a sip of water. It's a wellspring. He's a wellspring, a river flowing from within us. This means that our spiritual vitality, our ability to live a life pleasing to God, doesn't come from external sources or doesn't come from our own efforts. Like we keep repeating this time after time. It's not our own efforts that bring us close to God. It comes from the continuous, abundant presence of the Holy Spirit within us. He refreshes us. He empowers us. He sustains us. When we feel dry or weary or discouraged or just lost, it's the Holy Spirit who renews our strength and fills us with God's life. He's our living water, our inner spring. And the Spirit is the giver of new life. in John chapter 3, when going backwards in John here. Go back to one of the earliest conversations in John's Gospel with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So here Jesus is telling Nicodemus that spiritual birth, true spiritual life, comes from the Spirit. He's presented as the very agent of new birth, moving us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And as I say, it's not about human effort or religious ritual or coming to church or even praying, but it's a supernatural work of God. Nicodemus, a religious leader, understood the rules and rituals, but Jesus told him he needed something far more radical, a supernatural rebirth. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that spiritual birth, true spiritual life, comes from the Spirit. I don't know about you, but we've welcomed the rain. My lawn was completely dry. It was brown. And now the rain's come. What's happened? Grass has been to green up, and it's growing again, having to mow, of course. But it's that change from brown to green. And it's similarly that we by nature are spiritually dead in our sins. We're brown, we're parched. We can try to be good, we can try to follow the rules, we can try to be religious, but none of it can produce spiritual life. Only the Holy Spirit can breathe life, can rain life into our dead spirits, regenerating us, making us new creations in Christ, and enabling us to live a life that pleases God. It's not quite like the Doctor Who regeneration. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the last one, but, you know, he was on fire, the man. But regeneration is what Jesus is about. It's the work of being born again. It's not something we do, but something that God does to us and in us through his Spirit. That Holy Spirit is that life-giving water for our souls. It gives new life. And finally, he's the breath of God. In John chapter 20, we read one of the most profound and climactic moments regarding the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel occurs here after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus appears to his disciples who are locked away in the upper room. And on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Deeply spiritual act, which reminds us, it's reminiscent of God breathing life into Adam in Genesis. And now we have a new creation, Jesus breathing life into his followers. New life, empowering them for their mission. It's a foretaste of what we heard read earlier of Pentecost, the sign of a new creation. New people empowered by the divine breath of God. And Jesus says, verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. It's not a power to independently absolve sins, but an authorization to proclaim that forgiveness of sins that's found in Christ and to discern those who truly repent and receive it. It's an empowerment for the ministry of reconciliation, a vital aspect of the church's mission. The Spirit empowers the church to carry forward the message of salvation, to declare God's mercy and grace and call people to repentance and faith. It's the new life that empowers the church. And so what does all of this mean for us today? John's Gospel presents the Holy Spirit not as an optional extra in the Christian life, but as absolutely essential. He is our advocate. I don't know if that's going to come up, is it? Hopefully it will. Oh, he's our advocate. Our divine helper, always there for us, comforting, interceding, and empowering. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in our own strength. We are not left to our own devices. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes at that moment and lives within us. He is not a distant force, but he's an active personal presence. He's the Spirit of truth, guiding us into all truth, convicting us of sin, and revealing God's righteousness. Truth is not something we construct for ourselves. Just because we say it doesn't mean it's true. In a world full of conflicting narratives, we have an objective guide in the Holy Spirit who aligns us with the eternal truths of God's word. He's the living water, the inner spring of God's life, refreshing and empowering us from within. He's the giver of new life, that transformational work of the Spirit to regenerate and empower his people. We are empowered for mission as a church. Just as the disciples were breathed on and sent out, so are we. The Spirit enables us to bear witness to Christ, to live lives that reflect his character, and to participate in the ongoing work of God in the world. And he is the very breath of God. He breathes new life into his church. Are you in touch with this incredible gift? Are you listening to his voice? Are you allowing him to guide you, to comfort you, and to refresh you? Too often, I believe, we ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we try to live life in our own strength. We try to work it out for ourselves. And our lesson and our challenge this morning is to reconnect with him and allow him to fill us and rest in his strength. Perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed by life and you need a divine advocate, someone to come alongside and support you. Perhaps you're wrestling with what's the right thing to do in a particular situation, and you need the Spirit of truth to guide you. Or perhaps you feel spiritually dry and you need the living water to refresh your soul. Why try to live life in your own strength when we have the Holy Spirit? Today, let's remember and celebrate this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's actively seek his guidance, lean on his comfort, draw from his inexhaustible well of living water. Let's spend time with him. He is the breath of God, living within us, empowering us to live lives that honour and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the magnificent gift of your Holy Spirit. We confess that too often we neglect him, or we try to do life in our own strength. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, we invite you afresh into every area of our lives. Be our helper, our teacher, our guide, and the very source of our life. Convict us, empower us, and transform us to be more like Jesus. May our lives glorify you, through the power of your indwelling Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're going to sing a song. So let's bring our prayers of intercession. And as part of that, I've used the song, Great is the Darkness. I'll ask you to respond with the chorus part once we've done the verse bit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that through your Holy Spirit we can intercede with you directly. We thank you for that great gift and privilege. And so we bring you our prayers, firstly for world leaders and for all in positions of authority. Grant them wisdom, integrity, and a profound sense of justice, and to seek the well-being of all their citizens. Lord, we pray for an end to war, to violence, to terrorism, and for the establishment of lasting peace in all the troubled regions of the world. In particular, we lift up before you the Ukraine of Israel and Gaza. Great is the darkness that covers the earth, oppression, injustice, and pain. Nations are slipping in hopeless despair, though many have come in your name, watching while sanity dies, touched by the madness of lies. Let's say together, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit today. We pray for the church throughout the world, for all its leaders and clergy, and for all who serve you. We pray for the church in Jersey, and particularly for the Methodist Church. We pray for its leaders, for Dawn and for Peter. Grant them wisdom and discernment as they shepherd your flock. We pray for this church and for our church at Bethesda, particularly that we may be filled with your Spirit and lead with integrity and compassion, that we might proclaim your truth and we might proclaim your love and your grace. May now your church rise with power and love, this glorious gospel proclaim. In every nation, salvation will come to those who believe in your name. Help us bring light to this world, that we might speed your return. We say together, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit on us today. We lift up before you all those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the bereaved, the oppressed. And we bring to you now those for whom we are concerned in a moment of quiet. Or please do feel free to share. We remember those displaced from their homes, refugees seeking safety, and all who are experiencing poverty, hunger, and injustice. We pray for persecuted Christians across the world. We pray that you will give them your strength and courage in their trials. We pray for our local community and for society in Jersey as a whole. Inspire us to live together in harmony, respecting one another's differences and celebrating our shared humanity. Guide us in addressing challenges to our society, such as climate change and economic inequality and social division. May we work together to build a more just and equitable society and compassionate world for all. And we pray for our families and our friends and our loved ones. Strengthen our bonds of affection, deepen our understanding, and forgive our shortcomings. Help us to be sources of encouragement, support, and love to one another. For those who are struggling in their relationships, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit to bring renewed hope. Lord, we bring to you, finally, prayers for ourselves. Open our hearts to your word. Transform us by your Spirit and empower us to live lives that honour and glorify you. Help us to discern your will for our lives, to walk in obedience to your commands, and to share your love with everyone we encourage. Guide us in the week ahead, keeping us safe and steadfast in your grace. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit, and that brings us that promise of eternal life. And we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus. Great celebrations on that final day, when out of the heavens you come. Darkness will vanish, all sorrow will end, and rulers will bow at your throne. Our great commission complete, then face to face we shall meet. We say together, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Spirit on us today. Almighty God, you are the source of all good things, and we offer these prayers to you with humble and hopeful hearts, trusting in your infinite wisdom and your perfect love. Hear us, O Lord, and answer us according to your perfect will. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We conclude our service by singing Lord of the Church.
And we'll try something. I've got it on my phone. Right. Take it back to the beginning.